Joshua chapter 6. Why don't we open in prayer and then ask the Lord to bless and we'll begin. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can gather in your house with your people, with your book, with the teachers that you put before us and the preachers. Lord Father, I pray, Lord Father, that you help us to set all distractions aside. Lord Father, I pray, Lord, that you calm everyone in here, Lord Father, that they can hear your word. Help me to calm, Lord, my nerves, Lord Father, so that I can give the message you've given me. Pray, Lord Father, there'd be only the words that you want me to give. And I pray, Lord Father, to be clear and understandable. And Lord, those that are lost here, Lord Father, whether they're a longtime member or new visitor, I pray, Lord Father, they understand what that means. Pray that they would seek it out if it's not clear in the message and they would want to be saved today, Lord Father. I pray that you work on their hearts through the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord Father, that you encourage where we need encouragement, convict where we need conviction now. I just praise you and thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua 6, we're going to look at something. I always struggle with titles sometimes, but this one, the closest I could come to, I guess, is Almost God's Will. How about that? Almost God's Will. Almost God's Will. So, got your Bibles there, Joshua 6. Well, I'm going to be spread out a little bit, but just follow along here. I'm going to read Joshua 6, first five verses. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, in these verses we just read, Israel was to go to battle with Jericho. That's what God's plan was for them. They were to go to battle with Jericho, but God had a specific way that they were to do it. He gave them instructions. When we read our Bibles, God gives us instructions. He's very specific. They were to march around the city of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, once per day for 6 days straight. And then the 7th day, they were to march 7 times around it. And then they were going to blast with the trumpets and shout at the same time. And God said, the walls are going to fall down and then you can go in and sack. You can take, you can overtake the city of Jericho. You can take over that kingdom. And if we were to read on further, as many of you have, you've read this story, you're familiar with it. You find out the children of Israel, they obey God. Joshua instructs the people to do exactly what God told them to do. And they do just that. They go, God's will is accomplished. They sack the city, they overtake it. And I wrote here, you know, God's will was accomplished, or was it? Or was it? Let's read on a little further. They beat the city, right? They overtook it. But let's read in Joshua 6, verse 17 now. 6:17. And the city, which is Jericho, shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent, that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Taking of spoil in battle is common practice throughout the generations. If you look at history, it's common. People, when they won battles, Mitch mentioned this morning, people would go in raids and they would take spoil of war, of battles, right? However, in this case of Jericho, God wanted Israel to take only the gold, the silver, and the vessels of brass and iron. He said all else was to be destroyed. Nothing else was to be taken. This city's accursed. He gave specific instructions. Well, those that have read their Bible, it's a common Sunday school lesson. We heard about the sin of Achan, right? Growing up and all that. Those that have raised in church, if you've been in church any little length of time, you probably heard about here in Joshua 7:1. If you turn there, turn to Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. What happens? But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. What happened? Think about this. If God says, don't take of the spoil, don't take of the accursed thing, and you go ahead and take that accursed thing, did you obey or did you disobey? You disobey God. Plain and simple, right? It's a simple thought, but you disobey God. That means he almost did God's will, right? Depends on how you look at it, right? Is there really an almost? God's will was for you to obey him completely, Achan, or you and I, whatever it is that he wants us to do. Oh, but some say what God's will was accomplished. They overtook the city. The walls came down. They beat them. That's all true. All true. But you did not win how God wanted you to win. Someone took of the accursed thing. Think about this. Victories in your life, Mitch mentioned this too. Victories in your life are not automatic assurances that you did the will of God. They're not. You can, and we do many times in your life, we settle for almost God's will. We do. We're lazy, we procrastinate, and we get comfortable, right? Almost is pretty good, right? It'll work out okay, right? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. If we read further in chapter 7, we learn about that things didn't fare so well for Achan, right? We learn that there's more battles to be fought. In your life, there's more battles to be fought than that victory you just had. There's more to come. God wanted the children of Israel to go to battle against Ai next. Life is full of battles. You may win one, but that doesn't mean the war's over. So Israel, yes, they go to war with Ai. I'm paraphrasing a lot. Many battles as they have times before. They go out, they get ready, they prepare for war. But this time was different when they go against Ai. Something wasn't quite right. 36 men died in this battle against Ai. What's going on? And then the children of Israel, they fled away from the army. They were like, whoa, we're getting licked. We got to get out of here. So they backtrack and they get out of there. What's going on? God promised he would be with them in battle. Where is he? How come we're losing? How come 36 people die? God, what's going on? How come we lost? These are thoughts going probably through Joshua's head. He's the leader. God, what just happened? What happened? Achan took of the accursed thing, remember? God was still angry with Achan. And the children of Israel, for this sin, was not taken care of yet. The power of God was not on the children of Israel. And they reaped the consequences of it when they went to battle. I'll say this a little differently. I said, just because you get a victory doesn't mean it's the will of God. Let me rephrase it just a little bit more. Think about it this way. You can serve God in your own strength and in your own wisdom, but you will never be completely in the will of God when you do it. You can do that. We do it all the time. Israel was trying to overtake Ai, the next city that God wanted them to take, but they were doing it differently. They were trying to do it in their own strength and their own wisdom without the blessing of God. They did not have the power of God. Joshua, upon the defeat at Ai, he realizes, boy, we got trouble. He does the only thing he knows to do. He gets down on his hands and knees, or however he does it, and he prays to God, Lord, I need help. What just happened here? I need wisdom. We are losing. This is contrary to what you said was going to happen. What happened? The Lord hears his prayer and reveals to him what's going on. There's sin in the camp, Joshua. There's sin in the camp. We need to clean this up. This wasn't no slap on the hand for punishment. 36 people died. And then once the sin was fully known, they find out it's Achan. Do you know what Achan's punishment is? Cost him his whole family, his life. They were stoned to death, burned everything he owned. Like, wow, that's harsh punishment. God doesn't play around sometimes. God is very real. Consequences for our actions will come. Almost, again, is not the will of God. A victory does not automatically mean the will of God has been accomplished. A blessing or a gift does not always mean the Lord's will was done. Can you and I give without God telling us to give money? Absolutely. People are pressured all the time by peer pressure. Oh, he gave, so I got to give. God wasn't even in there. We do it all the time. Saved people do it. Lost people do it. Again, almost the will of God is a very, very dangerous place to be. You do not want to be serving God almost in the will of God. You don't want to be there. You don't want to serve God in your own strength. You don't want to serve God in your own way. It will affect your whole life. It will affect everything you do. It will affect your whole family. You will not have the power of the Holy Spirit unction to guide you, to enable you. The last thing I want, the last thing you should want, is when we stand before God and we stand before Him and He looks at all our service that we've done and He says, you know what, it was all for yourself. I was nowhere in that. We don't want that. If you think about it, you don't want that either. You don't want that. That's a scary place. You don't want to stand before God and realize it was for nothing. Because it was all about what you thought you needed to do, not what God wanted you to do. I want to show you something. Think about all these thoughts. Again, almost the will of God is a dangerous place. Turn over to Joshua 8. I want to show you something the Lord showed me. Really spoke to my heart. Joshua 8, verses 1 and 2. So Israel deals with the sin the best way. God says, you got to deal with this accursed thing. You got to take care of Achan. I know he messed up. Boy, it's sad. Punishment severe. Yep. God and his whole family, yeah, they're all dead. God said kill him. So anyway, the sin is dealt with now. And here we are in Joshua 8, verses 1 and 2 now. Look what happens. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Excuse me. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. Wait a minute. God, we're going back to Ai? We lost there. Why are we going back? See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Look at verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Why do I emphasize that? Did you catch it? Oh, Achan, oh, Achan. Almost the will of God. Almost. Achan, had you waited one more battle, had you not taken of the accursed thing in Jericho, you would have been living and you would have went to Ai and you could have took of the spoil. God was going to bless you then. But you took it too early. You did it your own way. You did it in your own strength. You did it with your own wisdom. You and I do this all the time. If we're not careful with God, punishments are severe sometimes. Almost the will of God, Brother Wright. Almost. This close. Almost the will of God, Hannah. This close. He was so close. The very next city. Almost is a very dangerous place to be when it comes to the will of God for our lives. Almost works, I've heard it said before, for hand grenades and horseshoes, right? You can get close and still maybe win a battle, right? You can blow some stuff up with a hand grenade if you get close. But for the will of God, you better be right on. You be right on. Think of some areas in your life, or in general, where you might have settled for almost. I've done it. I'm not saying these are the ones I've done them on, but I'll give you some examples that happen a lot. Okay, this can happen. If you're not careful, this could be you. And again, I mention these things. God is a very merciful God. He can help you if you've made some mistakes. I'm still here. He's helped me a lot, okay? But some areas that you be careful on, okay? Friends. Pray about who's your friend. All friends are equal, right? No, they are not. No, they are not. It is true we are to be friendly. We should be friendly to all. We should be kind. We should be compassionate. But it does not mean we are to be close friends with anybody. Pray about who you should be friends with. Who does God want you to be close to? You know, your old drinking buddies, probably not who He wants you hanging out with, right? Probably the new guy that you met through church who's trying to share you the Word of God. That would probably be a good friend to get close to. I'm just going through these pretty quickly. Just a couple of them. We'll be done here shortly. Well, what about marriage? You just pick a spouse, right? Doesn't matter. Oh, boy. Marriage is sacred. Marriage is supposed to be lifelong. Don't just settle for almost the will of God, young people or single person. Seek counsel from pastor, godly men and women about the person you are pursuing. Think about how close Achan was. Think about how close he was to be given the permission by God to go spoil Ai. He was that close, but missed it. Young person, single person, your will of God for marriage may be just one military PCS away. Just one. Your will of God for your spouse might be 1 year down the road. Maybe five. It could be one decision to wait for the will of God. Don't settle for almost the will of God. Brother Larry Brown, when he came through one time, he shared a story. If one understands, it's a true story. Either way, it's a good story to listen to and learn from. There was a single woman in her 40s, waited a long time for a spouse. She just wanted to get married. She'd been waiting and waiting and waiting. When's Mr. Wright coming? When's Mr. Wright coming? She used to ride horses. She used to go to this farm down the road or something. I don't remember the exact story, but she used to go help this farmer with his horses. He's an older man. He's 60-something, maybe 70-something. I don't remember how old. He's not married anymore. His wife died. I don't remember all the details, but he's single too. Something gets a little kindled. He loves on her a little bit. Opens up her heart. Come to find out, he's a Methodist. He doesn't go to her church. Doesn't believe the same thing she believes. But she was wooed. She disobeyed the counsel of her pastor. Pastor said, don't marry him. She married him anyway. And last I knew, they're out of church. I'm not God, but just looking at the outside, just the circumstances, it looks like she settled. It looks like she settled. Almost the will of God. Another area that we got to be careful. You could almost be in the will of God in ministry and church. Almost. Serving God is good. Therefore, you just pick any ministry, right? You just pick any church and you just do it. It's good. Wrong. Almost the will of God for ministry or church is not good enough with God. Think about this. If you're not serving in the church God wants you in or the ministry He wants you in, the people you're supposed to influence, you can't influence them if you're not where you're supposed to be. The people you're supposed to witness to, you can't witness to them because you're not where you're supposed to be. Not where God wants you. It comes at cost. That godly counsel that you get randomly, or so you think randomly when you're walking up and down the stairs and a godly young a saint lady comes by you and says, hey, you're looking a little down today. What's going on? That's the will of God if you're in the right church. But if you're not in the will of God, the person that's supposed to talk to you can't talk to you. The person that's going to give you some counsel can't counsel you. You think, oh, those things don't matter. Yes, they do. It's all part of that package, that thing we call the will of God for your life. And everyone's got it. Everybody's different. Your will of God is not my will of God. Totally different. We serve a super wonderful God who wants every detail of your life done His way. He's got it all mapped out if we just listen to Him. Almost the will of God is a very dangerous place to be. We're almost done. I mentioned a few areas where it could be very important to be in the will of God. Friends, very important. Marriage, very important. Ministry and church, very important to be in the will of God. But the most important area you need to be in, for us, the will of God, is this thing that we call salvation through Jesus Christ. It has to be God's way. It has to be His will. In our church, we have something called Remote Alaska Missions. It's a ministry of our church where men in our church and people in our church, spearheaded by Brother John Penix, he goes in the bushes and he preaches to people, trying to reach them with the gospel, right? Well, the verse for the ministry is this, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of God, I know this for a fact, based on the Word of God, I know this part, this much for you. I can tell you what the will of God for your life is, based on the Word of God. His will for you is you to be saved, if you are not. Based on what I just read, my Bible says, your Bible, if you got one in front of it, it says God wants to save you if you're not saved. He wants everyone saved. What do I mean by that? He wants you to receive Jesus as your Savior. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to take you to heaven when you die. That's God's will for you, for me, for everybody. But some people say, well, if that's God's will, how come some go to heaven and not all, and all the rest go to everlasting punishment? It's because many, many, many people settle for almost the will of God for their life. The Apostle Paul, he spoke very eloquently to Festus and King Agrippa in Acts 26. The Apostle Paul, he's witnessing to these men, these leaders of that time period in life. Paul, he's preaching to them, and he says, he's telling about when he got converted, when he met the Lord, and how he was saved, and how it'd be good for them to be saved. And King Agrippa said something very, very, it's just like stabbing your stomach. You do not want to say this, and you don't want to hear anybody say this. King Agrippa, he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Ooh, that's a dangerous place. King Agrippa almost that day accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. As far as I know, he never did, and he died. The Bible doesn't tell us that he got saved. What do you think God said when Agrippa stood before him? Did he say, oh, Agrippa, oh, almost accepted my son Jesus that day when Paul was preaching to you? Almost. Because you were almost, Agrippa, I'm just going to let you in. When you read the Bible, that's not how the Lord works. He doesn't do almost. Almost is a dangerous place to be as far as the will of God. Lord, but Agrippa, maybe Agrippa said, but I gave money to the church. I've studied the Torah. I've been baptized as a baby, as an adult. I even joined the church. Oh, I read my Bible. Lord, I prayed to you daily. As he's trembling before almighty, all-powerful God with the reality of his life hanging in the balance, his soul. I'm a family member of a pastor. Oh, I did this, I did that. He's reaching. Oh, what else is in my bag? What else did I do? Lord, help me. Wait, I'm standing before you, Lord. Almost the will of God is not the will of God. God says in His Word, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way. through the Father. And that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. No other way exists. Almost will not work. Almost will not work. I don't know where you are in your life, in your spiritual walk. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're born again. But we better take heed to almost. Sometimes almost is okay in minor things. But when it comes to the will of God, almost is not good enough. And that's all I have today. I want everybody to bow their heads.